CBSI in the World, I'm John Batchelor. Colombia, a longtime strong ally of the United States, and now I welcome Mary Anastasia O'Grady of the America's Column and Editor for the Wall Street Journal Editorial Board, writing about Colombia, which is the gateway to the Panama-Darien Gap, which is the gateway to the southern border of the United States. The numbers are alarming and overwhelming. Importantly, these numbers were not there 1 or 2 years ago. There is an explanation. Mary, a very good evening to you. Colombia is now under new leadership. Gustavo Petro, elected last year, now struggling to be the president of all the people. But what we're looking at here, thanks to your new column, is Colombia's part and narco-terrorism's part in the tens of thousands who are now taking major risks to cross the Darien Gap, the 60 miles of triple canopy jungle, at the hands of bad actors and travel to the United States with an unclear future. What is Colombia's part here, Mary? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. I think it's important to for your listeners on the radio to try to picture the geography in that part of the world. There's a large gulf between the northern part of Colombia and the very edge of the Darien Gap, which is still, by the way, part of Colombia. So for migrants who move north on the South American continent, either from Venezuela or Ecuador or Chile or Bolivia, they all move to this one small town on the southern edge of the Gulf of Urabá. And in order to get to the other side so that they can get to the Darien Gap, they need to be transported across the water. What has become apparent from very good reporting from local journalists on the scene there is that there is now a large business run by, let's call them entrepreneurs for now, who take the migrants in large power boats, say 100 at a time, across the Gulf to a small town on the other side that's called Acandí, Colombia. And there, the migrants are organized, again, by what I will call entrepreneurs, but with the assistance of the local Colombian government, the Department of Chocó. And the governor of Chocó has actually been interviewed saying, yeah, we help process the migrants here. So they wait in a line. They have to give their personal data to the government, some health information. And the reporters say that they're also asked to make sure that they have enough money to make the journey. And after that, these entrepreneurs transport them in small motor carts or motorcycles to the trailhead, which begins the hike through the Darien jungle. Again, all this is happening still in Colombia, but it's such an organized business that the migrants are given wristbands, which indicate how much money they paid to the smugglers. And you can pay as little as $170 for a guide to take you through the jungle, or you can pay up to $500. That includes someone to carry your stuff, and maybe you get part transportation in a boat through the jungle. What has become apparent is that these entrepreneurs are actually a drug cartel called the Clan de Golfo, the Gulf Clan. And the government is quite aware that they are a cartel. They're collecting all this money. They're also happen to be drug smugglers. And they take the people into Panama. And, of course, once you're in the jungle, at some point you cross over the Panamanian border. When you come out the other side of the jungle, you're in Panama. Panama says that they cannot send the people back because it would be a death sentence. The jungle is so dangerous. So they take them. And once they clear the jungle, they continue this journey up the Central American isthmus through Mexico and to the border.
The journey is extremely dangerous. No one could endorse this journey, but it's being made by young people with children, Mary. It's quite amazing to me to see the videos. Some have been made by the BBC of these young people crossing rivers that cannot be crossed, sometimes up to their necks, holding onto a lifeline to get across, or coming down muddy slopes with no guardrails whatsoever into steep, steep declines, enormously dangerous. And to hear that the Colombian authorities are in some way persuaded that this is something that they need to abet, it's astonishing, Mary.
Well, as I said in my column, it's a business, and the cartel is making a lot of money. But the government of Colombia is not doing anything to regain control of its territory. These are large swaths of Colombia are controlled by the cartel. This is a complete contradiction of what President Obama told us when he made a surrender with the FARC, that somehow peace would descend on Colombia. In fact, large parts of the country are run by these cartels. And Gustavo Petro, who's the president, a former terrorist, is not doing anything to stop the cartel. His defense minister, Ivan Velasquez, who we previously know was in Guatemala promoting left-wing policies for the UN, is not doing anything to stop the cartel. It may be that the government says, well, we don't want to fight this war. That may be true. But I think that, you know, this government is supposedly an ally of the Biden administration, and they're not helping the U.S. because there's a natural barrier there in the form of the Gulf of Uraba. So it wouldn't be that hard to stop those boats from crossing the Gulf, and that would change the dynamics. Now, obviously, Colombia would then be stuck with a lot of these migrants, but as the message went out that they no longer could cross, I think it would change behavior. And on that point, it's also important to remember that a lot of these migrants, you describe them as families and so forth, taking these enormous risks. And the reason they're doing it is because they have very high possibility of crossing the border once they get to Mexico. So that's the second incentive, I would say, that the Biden administration has not dealt with, which is a message to people all over the world, but especially in Latin America, that if you make it to the border, you have high chances of getting across using asylum law or maybe a more formal method of application, but which I won't go into a lot of the details there, but you have a high possibility of getting across the border. And with that high possibility in mind, these migrants take enormous risks.
You report that the Colombia Defense Ministry blames the Gulf Cartel, the Gulf Clan, which is an odd way to treat what is a gangster attitude entirely. Is the military of Colombia suddenly unable to defend its own territory?
Well, you remember that there was a president in Colombia, Alvaro Uribe, who basically, it's incorrect to say that Uribe won any kind of drug war. He didn't. He didn't really change the flow of drugs out of Colombia. But what he did effectively was to reestablish the presence of the state across the country so that drug lords no longer came into towns and said, we're in charge here. We tell people how to run the place.
We have 30 seconds.
And that was the big accomplishment of Uribe, and that has been lost. And Colombia apparently says it's not interested in trying to regain it.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady, The Wall Street Journal editorial board. I'm John Bass.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.